hear once more the words from Isaiah for tonight's message. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a sign for all people. In this chapter of Isaiah 11, this is the messianic hope, the hope for a Messiah, an anointed one, a special person. And in chapter 11 that we just heard, this is that same hope that we heard expressed earlier in chapter 7, 2 weeks ago, when it said, a virgin will bear a son and name him Emmanuel. And then this is the same hope that was amplified last week in chapter 9, where Isaiah says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Now, tonight, everything comes to fullness. Now this Messiah is not merely promised or announced, but as depicted as ruling. He's doing something. He's here. Now this random person, if you might think of it, this Messiah, this hoped for person, supposedly has small roots, it says. In fact, it said that he himself is the root of Jesse. Now, what does that mean exactly? Who is this Jesse guy? Well, it just so happens that Jesse is the father of King David. And this is important because of the implications it means for the kings that would follow. This hoped-for person isn't going to be known for his glorious splendor like a king, like the ones that followed after King David. But he's going to be even before that. He's going to have roots that are small and deep down and dirty, before anything even got famous. Just like a shepherd. Like Jesse. So why a stump? Why is there a stump of Jesse? Well, we have to get a little bit more of a backstory. The people of God, called Israel, were pretty much down and out. They were good as dead. They were cut down. There were enemy nations called Assyria and Babylon. And they had taken the people of God away into exile. Very, very far from home. Now, for us, it'd be as if right now, during your busy holiday preparations, an enemy army, they come in the middle of the night and they ship you off to, say, North Korea. And then you're told to live out the rest of your life there with no other preparation. Israel was good as dead, and they were cut down like a stump. Forget their kings, forget the good times, forget the bad times. It was all over once the enemies of Israel came marching in. But like any of us that maybe even does some work outside, we know that with trees, and we know that with maybe plants or weeds especially, that when you cut them down, there's always going to be a little shoot that springs back up. Sometimes when we don't even want it. There's always going to be a shoot that comes from the bottom. And for that reason, there is hope. All is not dead. There is a reason to hope for something to restore order, for something to grow back. There is even a reason to hope for a person to be a sign of safe return. Now, even though this happened to the people of God, for 70 years they were out, cast away in exile from their homeland, they were holding on to hope that they would one day return back to Israel and once again worship back in the temple, as they could freely do. They still had that glimmer of hope. they still had a little bit of light at their figurative end of the tunnel. Now, when I started thinking about that, I kind of thought about some maybe closer to home references. I kind of thought about this guy, Rocky Balboa. Now, if you ever watched the films, this is what it's about. It started back in 1976 from the very first Rocky movie with Sylvester Stallone. This is actually a photo of the actual bronze statue that is right now currently in the city of Philadelphia. And this bronze statue was erected for this fictional character, this fictional boxer named Rocky Balboa. Now, even though this famous person from a movie wasn't even a real person, this statue, this idea of a person, gives people, especially the people of Philadelphia, hope. It's a hope that despite a person's small beginnings, greatness can be achieved. If you've ever seen the Rocky movies, Rocky Balboa was a poor, down-and-out man. And only thing that he had was a thick skull and hard fists, perfect for a boxer. And eventually he made a name for himself. He, for a lot of people, becomes a hope to look up to, that regardless of your circumstances, you can fight your way back. Well, this continued on from Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, and Rocky 5, and then another one, Rocky Balboa. There's countless stories that we love hearing of something coming back from all was gone and lost. So too wasn't just this character, Rocky Balboa, but so too was the American flag. When our national anthem was written, it was the flag that inspired a man named Francis Scott Key to write about it. It was the War of 1812, and with smoke and bombs filling up the air at the middle of the night, nobody knew what was to hope for. If their safety was pretty much lost, if they were going to be taken over. Until finally, when the morning came in the light of day, when they still found that the flag was still flying, they haven't been taken over. They had a hope to look for. Well, still, we still have that same image of hope today. This is the same exact flag that inspired Francis Scott Key to write about. It's now in a very famous museum still in our country today. We still have hope. Hope to look to. People today still look to even this flag. It's meaningless. It's just a bunch of fabric together. But for people, it's still a sign. It's a symbol for hope. When disaster strikes, people fly flags. Just think of September 11th, 2001. Still today, when soldiers die, flags are brought out and covering their caskets. The flag is still a sign for people to hope for something. So too is this person spoken about in Isaiah. But he's not just a symbol. He's not just a fictional character. This time he's for real. And this time there is something special. This hoped for Savior isn't just a king on a throne, but a hope that dwells in the down and dirty, that's real and present, what we call Emmanuel, God with us. And that's something that we tend to forget. Well, over time, as we look to the Star-Spangled Banner that becomes our national anthem, it's easy to recall the war aspects of our living, when it feels like we're being bombarded even in our own lives. It's easy to sing a song like this before our sporting events. Well, I think a lot of people don't recall that this is just one portion of a song that is four times longer. There's actually four stanzas to our national anthem when we only sing the first. Well, do a little research. This is the last stanza, and oddly enough, it talks about somebody more important than just the flag. Thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. No matter how often and how ruthless our country even wants to get rid of God, we can't even get rid of it from our national anthem. And that's what we're talking about, a root, a stump of Jesse, always coming back, always fighting closer to break through the surface. Even when we have disasters happening in our life where it feels like we're as good as dead and we're cut down, we don't really have anything else to offer, we still have hope. And this hope is not just in something fictional. We have a hope for a God that is not just a God in general, but a God for you. A God that just doesn't come to make things better, but a God that actually raises you up. A God that raises you from death. And that's the hope that we have for Advent as we're awaiting Christmas. And it is the hope of Christmas, that there is peace and that there will be peace that final day when we get to say that a wolf will lie down with a lamb, where seeming enemies will be friends, when there is no need to fear, when even a baby can put its hand over a cobra's mouth and not be afraid to be bitten. Peace, not just in our lives, but peace on earth. And that's what we're waiting for when Jesus comes back. And that's why we continue to celebrate Advent and Christmas. That God is here right now, right down to us. He's already come into our world. He's already come into your life. But he's coming back for so much more. To rid this world of pain and sorrow. So, tonight, as we're closer and closer to Christmas, remember that in this new year ahead, when you are down and out, when you might be even struggling to get along, that you can look to a sign for all people, that you can look to the cross, not just a flag, not just a stump, but to the cross. Look to the cross of Jesus, because this is a sign for all people, and it's a sign for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.